One of the great sports stories to come along in a long time is about a young man who went to Harvard, not what you would consider to be a basketball factory school, and then gets signed by a couple of teams in the NBA and cut by both of them, Houston and the Golden State Warriors, only to get a third chance with the New York ball club as well. And then finally he gets his break with a couple of injuries, and of course he lights the world on fire, and you know I'm talking about Jeremy Lin. Well, he had a beginning, and most kids do, and in high school he had an outstanding coach who he's still close to today. And Peter Diepenbrock joins us on Sports Byline USA to talk about Jeremy Lin when he was his coach. Tell me about the first time, Peter, that you met Jeremy Lin.
Well, I first met him at my summer camp, and he was a real small 10-year-old boy that was really small but had an enormous amount of confidence and just an incredible natural feel for the game.
You said he just had an extremely strong will, and he exerts his will in every game that he's in. Did that surprise you?
Definitely, and it more so, you know, each year that I coached him, you know, just getting into bigger games and bigger situations, he just kept surprising me, and no stage was ever too big for him.
One thing I do know about people in general, and maybe coaches to some degree, is that they form opinions early because they have to assess the talent and the capabilities of a player. Tell me a little bit about your assessment of him.
Well, as a freshman, he was just really small, and he played JV and did well, but he was really small. And that particular year, the varsity team went to the state playoffs, and he came into the state playoff game, and it was just an incredible atmosphere and packed gym, and knew he had a lot of confidence and a great feel, but that was definitely a game where he really showed everybody how special he was, because he performed really, really well against, you know, guys that are 3 or 4 years older than him, and that's when we really knew he was going to be something special.
You know, and I talked to him here on the program. I asked him about the stereotype that goes along with Asian players, and I'm just wondering, it's almost hard not for people to have an impression, because generally speaking, maybe that impression has been true in the past. Did that come into your mind at all, thinking about an Asian player and his size when you first met him?
You know, it didn't, Ron. In this area, we have a very large Asian-American population, and we have a lot of them play basketball. Every year we have 3 or 4 Asian-Americans on the basketball team. So it never really came into the conversation until he left and went on to Harvard, actually.
And why did it come into play at that time, do you think?
I guess because that's when he really started doing things on a national stage, and people really started, you know, recognizing how good of a player he was, and he wasn't just a Palo Alto, star. He ended up being a star nationally, and that's when, you know, obviously there aren't a lot of Asian Americans doing it at that level, so...
You know, Peter, when I had him on the program, I asked him about a quote that I had read in a story where it was said, and it may have come from you or somebody else, that he was not a pretty good practice player when he was in high school. And he said, that is absolutely true. What was it about the way he practiced in high school?
Well, you know, that was for me. I did say that. And it's true. You know, I think that's a big part of his story, Ron, because he was obviously a very talented player and knew how to play the game. And so, you know, anytime the drills, you know, did not involve competition, he just really couldn't get himself excited to work on it. And at the same time, when he would go into games, he would still be able to do all the things he wanted to do. So there really wasn't that type of, you know, motivation that way. And then, you know, when he went on to Harvard and, you know, saw that he really needed to get a lot stronger and needed to improve his skill, I mean, that's when, you know, he again realized, you know, for him to be successful, he was going to have to change his approach, and he did. I mean, he just kept adjusting to the level that he was at.
I know one of the things I like to do when I see a talented athlete is I like to understand why they are the way they are. And in a story that I read, I found out what that answer was. It was his mom and dad, and particularly his mom, because you said she runs such a tight ship, she wasn't going to let Jeremy stray too far. Tell me a little bit about how she, the influence she had with Jeremy.
Oh, she was, what's the word, omnipresent? I mean, just no matter – you know, what the situation was. I mean, if there was anything ever going on at school, you know, I would always, you know, definitely get a phone call, and she'd be, you know, she'd make it very clear that, you know, academics were the number one priority, and you know, if he was slacking off and not doing what he's supposed to do in the classroom, you know, he was not going to be playing basketball, and if I wanted him to play basketball, I was going to need to have a conversation with him, and so, you know, and very strict, you know, religious, you know, and they'd go to, you know, have church, and they'd go to Christian school every week, and very, very tight reins, yeah.
He did something prior in a meeting prior to his senior season. Tell everybody what he did.
Yeah, well, we you know, have a meeting each year to talk about the goals for the season, and you know, normally these things, you know, a player will come out and say, well, let's, you know, win, you know, the Christmas tournament, or let's win league, and you know, maybe if you have a nice team, you're going to try to win the local section. And he came out right from the start and said, you know, let's win the state championship, you know, and put that as our goal. And you know, in the state of California, that's, you know, it's kind of like winning the lottery. It's a rather, you know, a huge goal to kind of put out there. But you know, once he said that, you know, it just showed how much confidence he has in himself and in the team that year.
I think a lot of people are surprised that he ended up maybe at Harvard instead of going to one of the other schools on a scholarship. And the story of why he didn't get offered a scholarship from Cal and Stanford, I thought was very, very funny, in which one coach that was recruiting him used the name Ron instead of Jeremy. Why don't you think he got more respect as a basketball player?
Oh, he was just a completely different-looking athlete. I mean, he was really small and weak and just not nearly as athletic as he is now. And he completely transformed his body in his time at Harvard. And even he, when he came back last summer and looked at a game from high school, he said the same thing. He's like, I just can't believe how small and weak I was in high school. So, I mean, those coaches took a really good look. Everybody knew about him. You know, it wasn't like, you know, he didn't get the looks and everything. It was just, he just was not, you know, and it's just, you know, his skill is just how to play the game. It's not a real quantifiable, you know, definitive, measurable statistics. I mean, he just has a great feel for playing the game of basketball.
And as a coach, you certainly could understand what the coaches were thinking, because you said it's hard to predict how it's going to translate. And I guess that's the biggest challenge for a coach, is it not, Peter?
Yeah, no question. You know, we see it all the time in sports. You talk about, you know, guys that are getting drafted late in rounds, and you just never know until you put a particular athlete in a particular arena, you know, how they're going to perform against you know, the bigger, stronger athletes. And you know, and that's exactly what this is a story about, is that he just finds a way.
When you take a look at what he's accomplished in basketball on the professional level, you know, somebody, and especially immediately out of the gate as he performed when he got the opportunity, is there anything that surprises you about that, Peter?
He just continually surprises me with his confidence in himself and his fearlessness. That's the thing. I mean, I know he knows how to play, and I know that, you know, he's going to make great decisions, but I mean, you know, holding the ball like that against Toronto with 20 seconds left, and then just having the guts to take that shot, and I mean, obviously he made it, but that's what continually surprises me, is his just incredible confidence in himself.
Yeah, you said one thing, and I think this probably is also the focus of why he's been successful in life and now in basketball. He just had this incredible ability to basically structure his life and organize himself and make sure that he had his priorities straight. That, to me, sums it all up, Peter.
No question. I mean, and then again, a lot of that's from his parents' very, very strong Christian faith, and that's where it all starts. And yeah, she was not gonna, you know, let him stray at all. And yeah, no question. You know, it's a very, very special family for sure.
We've got about 45 seconds left, but when you think about, you know, being in a large media market in a big-time league like the NBA, but he never forgets the little things. You had a birthday. What did he do?
Yeah, he did. This was basically, my birthday was the 12th, and he kind of started this run on the 4th, so it was about a week into this incredible run, and yeah, he texted me happy birthday, and I mean, it was right when everything was going crazy, and yeah, that was pretty surprising, I got to tell you. Yeah.
How good can he be at this level?
You know, I know we're out of time, but I just think, you know, athletically, you know, I think he's fine. He can do what he needs to do on the court. And obviously basketball IQ-wise is off the charts, and he's just going to keep getting better as far as, you know, adapting to this level. I think his skills are something that can get better, and I know he's going to keep working on him. I mean, his shot and his dribbling moves. I mean, so I think he's going to get considerably better, actually.
Peter, I want to thank you very much. You've lent an interesting perspective to Jeremy Lin. Take care and come back anytime on Sports Byline.
Well, thanks for having me. Appreciate
High school it. Basketball coach of Jeremy Lin, Peter Diepenbrock, with us on Sports Byline. Very interesting perspective. We've got you on Sports Byline.